The first piece of Rashi in the Torah and Parshas Bereishis, Parshas Bar Lakim, Am Rabbi Yitzchak Lahayatzarech Lahaschel, Alam Ayachaydesh Azor Lechem. The Torah should have started with a Chaydesh Azor Lechem, Shehi Mitzvah Rishayna, Shenetztavu Yisrael. That's the first mitzvah. That Yidden were commanded by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, and that Nissen should be the first Chodesh, and that our Chodeshim goes according to the Levana, and we use the Levana to determine our calendar. That the first mitzvah. In Parshas Lech Lecha we have Mila, which is the first mitzvah to the first Yid. And then, really in Bereishis, we already have the seven mitzvahs of the Bnei Noach. Although it can be argued that it doesn't say Beferish, but learn that out from Drashas. In Parshas Vayishlach, we have Gid Hanosha. Although it isn't Aliba to Kuliyam, some Tanoim say that there you have the story, but not the mitzvah. When it says, Alken Le'yechelu B'nai Yisrael is Gid Hanosha, Kenoga B'kaf Yerach Yankav B'yayav Kayimai, the Torah says why Gid Hanosha is also to a Yid, because of the episode with the encounter of Yankov Avinu with the Malach. But not that that's the first mitzvah. The mitzvah was given on the Har Sinai. Other Tanoim say that that's where the mitzvah was given, to Yankov Avinu. But Al Kaponim, on Mila you can't argue. Mila certainly was given to Avram Avinu. So why is the Chodesh Azor Lechem the first mitzvah? Starke kasha, no? I've seen some mefarshim talking about it, but it's shvel. And we'll try, Be'ezer Hashem, to answer this kasha in a very pashut and emissar way. We have talked about this at length. The mitzvah, emuna, to believe in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is a mitzvah. And the Rambam puts that down as the first pasuk in the Aseres HaDibros. Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hoceiticha me'aretz Mitzrayim. Now, we have to understand, if Anoichi Hashem Elokecha is the mitzvah of Emuna, so why does it say Asher Hoceiticha me'aretz Mitzrayim? It should have said Asher Bareicha, I created you, so believe in me. I'm coming now to a point which is one of the yesodos of our series on the mitzvah of Emuna. What is the mitzvah of Emunah? In the beginning of the Zman, we elaborated on this point that every Yid who is descendant of Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yankov believes instinctively in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That Yidiyah is hereditary. Then we talked about understanding and seeing the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in our environment and from within us, which even a guy could do. It's self-evident that there is a Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the world. Then we spoke about philosophy. You can reach Emunah through philosophy, through thinking, through logic, like the Sfarim of the Rambam and others. We sort of frowned about it. The Rambam and the other big Rishonim who wrote philosophy they themselves didn't consider that an Iker and Emunah, but it was an antidote against the philosophical books of the Goyim. Where the Rambam lived, the Goyim dealt with philosophy. So we needed that the Jewish youth should have their philosophy to combat the Ruach of philosophy which came from the Goyim. I don't know if I mentioned this. We have a Musa Sefer, one of the greatest Musa Sefarim, the Yesod of Musa Sefarim, the Mesilas Yesharim, the path of the righteous, as it's translated on the English translation. Then we have the Rambam Sefer on philosophy, Meir Nevuchim, the teacher of the perplexed. Nevuchim means they're lost, like we have in Parshas B'Shalach. Nevuchim heim ba'aretz, sagar aleim ba'midbar. The Mitzchim thought that Yidden are lost in the Midbar. Why didn't the Rambam call a Sefer Meire Yesharim, like the Mesilas Yesharim did? No. The Rambam Sefer wasn't intended for Yesharim. It was intended for Nevuchim. For those who are astray anyway, and they won't grasp on the moon, let them at least do some philosophizing on this Indian. And now we are coming to the mitzvah of Emunah. How does the Rabban Yishlerim want us to believe? What is the method of Emunah? Now, being that Emunah is a mitzvah, especially Liba the Rambam, that he says it's one of the Tayag mitzvahs, and even according to the Ramban, that doesn't count it among the Tayag mitzvahs, Adrabe, because of its superiority over the mitzvahs, because it's the aside of the mitzvahs, it's still a mitzvah, and as a mitzvah, it falls under the heading of other mitzvahs, like Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. So the mitzvah of Emunah is Mesiras Aviseinu. That's how it was handed down to us. There are klalim that every badas understands and accepts of what can be believed. There are certain things that go down the Messiah of the world. Certain ideas, certain concepts that the world has. There are klalim. Which concepts are exact, absolute, and which are fashionable according to the time, and as time goes on the concepts can change also. Something which has been witnessed by a multitude of people must be emes according to all the rules of human psychology. Now the klal is shem shem patzafayim shaveis kach ein dayaseim shaveis. Just like a person's two persons, their face aren't identical, their way of thinking also isn't identical. Every person is original, just like his face is original. There are no two people in the world who have this exact same identical face. Even identical twins, the mother would know immediately who's who. And even the friends in the yeshiva, after 2 or 3 weeks, would know who's who. Would know who is Ephraim, who is Manasseh, even though they look mamish the same. There's no two identical people in the world, because the face shows you what's inside. The face is an x-ray. According to a person's character, that's how his face is. And that's how tzaddikim are able to tell in a person's face what his ruchnius dikim makeup is. And like the Rambam says, that they were mekabel des chachma, and it's based on the pasuk in the Torah, Zeh sefer Torah des Adam. The panim is called panim because panim means inside, panim. The face mirrors what's inside of a person. And since the inside of a person, his way of thinking, his ideas, are not the same as his chavel's, so his face isn't the same. It's different. The face is an x-ray, panim. It shows you what's on the inside. You will never have, let's say, in Congress, everybody should be unanimous. There are always, even the most logical law that they want to pass, there are always going to be some that will dissent. No, they don't agree. They don't agree. I remember when I was a boy then, I heard over the radio when Hitler, Yamach Shmei, invaded Poland. So it was very obvious that America must do something, otherwise Hitler is going to conquer the whole world and then he'll come to America. So I was listening on the radio the way they voted in Congress if the United States should declare war or not. Everybody said you should declare war. It's obvious, you have to. But there was some dissenters. Some said no. There is never anything that's unanimous because people have different ideas. And supposing, let's say, 10 people would decide, let's fabricate a lie and sell this lie to people, a shekel. You can have one or two that would say, no, I don't agree. If you have 1,000, certainly you're going to have many more people that will say, we don't agree. Now, we know that George Washington was the first president of the United States. Suppose a certain lunatic will come and say, I don't believe it. There was never any George Washington. So I was right in calling him a lunatic. Because if somebody would say, let's say there's a certain novel about a certain character who lived in the Palisades, and there's a story about him. So if somebody would say, I don't believe it, all right, I said, don't believe it. You're right. Yeah, you don't have to believe it. But if you say there's no George Washington, it can't be so. Because there were multitudes of people that had a personal experience with him. He was the general of the Revolutionary Army with hundreds of thousands of soldiers under him. Then he was the President of the United States, and he had sheikhs and personal experience with hundreds of thousands of people, and he left his mark on their lives. And this passed down the generations. And if the first generation after George Washington, if some of them would have known that it's a lie, they would have protested. They would say, how come I lived in your generation? How come I don't know about him? There's no such thing. Can't be. 2,000 years ago or something, there was Julius Caesar, the emperor of Rome. He built up the Roman Empire and he conquered all of Europe and Asia and whatnot. And there's stories and books about Julius Caesar and about the white horse and about one tooth in the horse which was missing. If you're going to say, I don't believe the story of the white horse, yeah, makes sense. Who says he got to believe whatever? And he is, just because somebody wrote a book, he has it. You have to believe that there was one tooth missing in his white horse. Maybe there's two teeth missing. Maybe he was a brown horse. That could be. But if you're going to say there was no Julius Caesar, that's ridiculous. That won't pass. It can't be accepted. Because he left his mark on history, and he it was experienced with hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people, in all the countries that he came and conquered them, and his conquering them affected them, and hundreds of thousands saw him, and it went down in history. And if somebody in that generation would have written an account about Julius Caesar, and it wouldn't have been true, everybody would have protested. How come I don't know about it? We Yidden were mekabel de Teure. All the people who lived in that continent and in the neighboring continents, those who had that Messiah, I'm not speaking about China, which is thousands and thousands of miles away, with geographical barriers separating them, but I'm speaking about some of the people from Europe and Asia. Everybody believes in Matan Torah. That's why the Christians, they believe in Matan Torah and in Yetzias Mitzrayim. They can't say it's not true. The Mohammedans believe in Matan Torah and Yetzias Mitzrayim. They can't say it's not true, because it was experienced by millions of people, and it left its effect upon all the countries around them. This can't go down in history without it being true. There can be a few million people that will come together and say, let's pass down the lie to our children, and everybody will agree, and nobody will protest, and they're going to let the lie go down. There were 600,000 men by Yetzias Mitzrayim and by Matan Torah. Together with their women and their children, there were millions of people. They saw Yetzias Mitzrayim. They experienced Yetzias Mitzrayim. They saw the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But what's much, much more important, they were there by Matan Torah. Millions of people were there by Matan Torah. And when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Torah 40 years later, there were still millions of people who remembered Matan Torah. All those people that weren't 20 years old by Matan Torah, and they weren't the Mason of the because of the Meraglim, they remembered Matan Torah. They saw it, they experienced it. And they also experienced the 40 years when every day bread came down from heaven, and the Be'er went along with them. They experienced all these things. They saw the Man, they saw the Be'er, they saw all the Nisim that happened to Yidden in Mitzrayim. They saw that the suits with which they went out of Mitzrayim lasted them 40 years. And when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down in the Torah all these things, they saw that, and the Torah was given out to all the Yidden. They saw all this and they remembered it. When Moshe Rabbeinu writes down at the end of 40 years, Simlascha lebalsa meyalecha, your clothing never deteriorated. Ze 40 years this happened. Hamachilcha man b'midvar, aboim shana. You wait man, and at the end of the 40 years in Parshas Dvarim, in Parshas Veschanan, he recounts what happened by Matan Torah. Something special happened by Matan Torah, which no religion, no faith can boast of that. It isn't that somebody came, a charismatic person, and made tricks. You can make tricks. You know, I remember when somebody showed me a trick. There's a penny in his hand. Right, you see a penny? I close his hand, opens up, no more penny. It's magic, magic. It's not magic, it's a trick. There was a tiny hole in the penny connected to a rubber band, and he held it in his hand, and the rubber band was under the sleeve, and when he closed his hand, he let hold he released the grip, and the penny flew in, connected to the rubber band, so he has no penny. There's tricks, and even there's magic also, but magic is very limited, like you have in this week's Sedra. There are certain things that even the biggest mechashvim can't do. They, by Marcus Keenum, as Bava Kimhi. The Mechashvim couldn't do that. They couldn't duplicate that. There are many things. The Mechashvim can't make any kishuf over the water. That's a big cloud. In the medieval days, when they had prisoners, the prisons were always situated over a river. The Gemara says you can't make no kishuf over the water. And that was Kiyas Yamsuf. It's not kishuf. Anyway, but I can tell you something else happened. The whole Christian religion is based on one person. He did this and he did that, and he says he saw this and he made tricks. The Mohammedan religion, these are the two major religions, Lahavdil, after Yiddishkeit, is also based on one person. Muhammad said this, Muhammad saw this, and the people believed him, and he was a charismatic person, and he gathered them. You know, a charismatic person can make people believe in it. We saw it in our generation. A civilized, clever nation, an industrious nation, a nation of scientists and doctors, the Germans, is a common Amishigana and held charismatic drushes, and he got them. He hypnotized them. He got them. But one person said it, and they believed him. Matan Torah wasn't that way. Matan Torah wasn't that Moshe Rabbeinu came to us and told us the Torah and said that he is a Navi. But Matan Torah, every Yid was a Navi. And Rabbeinu Shalom spoke to every Yid. Panim bepanim diber Hashem aleichem mitoicha eish. And Moshe Rabbeinu says in verse Chanan, Umi gai gadol, who is such a big nation? But Rabbeinu Shalom appeared to them, and you heard the Kail Hashem medaba mitoicha eish kasha shemata ata, like you heard. We don't believe Moshe Rabbeinu. We believe ourselves. There were millions of people on the Har Sinai. And when it was recorded later, 40 years later, when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Sefer Torah, before he was Niftel, there were still millions of people who remembered that that's what happened. And they remembered that they were Nevi'im, and that Rabbeinu Shalom talked to them. There's no faith in the world that has that. We have a Messiah. This is our Messiah. It was handed down to us. And they passed it down to the next generation. And when it was passed down to the next generation, there weren't people that said, how come I didn't hear this from my father, the way you heard it from your father? Can you say that millions of people made a meeting and decided, let's pass down the lie to our children? It's impossible. It won't work. They won't agree. And if some people passed it down and some didn't, how come the other people who didn't didn't say to the others, you heard this from your father? How come I didn't hear it from my father? The Messiah went down. And from generation to generation, this Messiah went down. This is irrefutable. You can't be makrish that. This is our Messiah. It was handed down straight from Sinai. And by Sinai, every Yid was a Navi, and Rabbeinu Shalom spoke to him directly. Panim bepanim diber Hashem aleichem mitzvah eish. So Rabbeinu Shalom spoke to every Yid. This is our emunah. It was passed down to us by Messiah, and no faith in the world has that. That an entire nation of millions of people should be mekabel the faith. All the other faiths were produced by one person, but not the Yiddish emunah. And that's why everyone must be made to this. They can't refute it. So that's why the Christians also have to believe it. And they believe in the Old Testament, which is Chamisha Chamisha Torah. And the Mohammedans also believe it. But they say that the Rabbeinu Shlodim changed his mind, and that can't hold any water for the reasons which I will, Be'ezer Hashem, explain to you next week. Thank you.